Ready to go? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the September 16th, 2014 meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature. Remember to please ask you to please remember to silence your cell phones and other electronic devices, including members of the legislature. Remember that the emergency exits are in the back of the room to my right and in the front of the room to my left. I wonder if you would please stand and join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I'd ask for the roll call of members, please.
Mr. Dennis?
I am here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer? Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Ms. Robertson? Mr. Robinson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stein?
Here.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
I am here.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
13 members present.
We have a quorum. Presentation of proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
I'm not aware of any necessary reordering of business tonight, and we do not, I believe, have an executive session, do we? Thank you. Then let's move into privilege of floor tonight. This is the opportunity that the public has to speak to us about any issue they would like to do. We ask that they keep their comments to 3 minutes, that they sign the blue cards that we have here. And in signing the blue card, they're agreeing to our rules that says that I agree to a 3-minute time limit. I agree not to raise my voice. I agree not to use lewd, obscene, profane, slanderous, or libelous language or speak or act in a manner that would tend to incite a breach of peace. I agree not to speak about county personnel matters. Personnel matters include comments about the job performance of named county employees other than elected officials. After 3 minutes, I agree to leave the microphone and yield the floor. I agree that if I cause a disruption and am asked to leave, I will leave the chambers. We have a countdown clock over here to my left, and at the end of the 3 minutes, if you're still speaking, you'll hear a tone, and we ask that you conclude at that point. I have one blue card tonight, and I would call Bob Studner. And, Bob, would you tell us the municipality you're from, and please go ahead.
Thank you. The name is Bob Stutner. I live in the city of Ithaca. I'm doing business in our community as Somewhere, S-U-M-W-A-R-E, Project Collaboration. I'm here tonight representing my client, Bob DePola, DPI, one of the proposers for redevelopment of the old library site. And Bob sent to all of you communication this morning. Just want to reiterate the advantages to the county, the city, the developers, and any future occupants of the project for a expeditious resolution of the analysis phase of the request for expressions of interest to move on to the request for proposal phase, and we believe that even though the county has some challenges with their current occupancy of the building, and that may be extended, that there are many activities that could take place in parallel to everybody's mutual advantage. Revenue could start flowing into the county next fiscal year, same with the city, and many permit fees. And lower cost to all concerned. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's the only blue card I have. Then let's proceed. I don't think I see a municipal official for privilege of the floor for municipal officials. So that was easy. And we'll move to privilege of the floors for legislators. Dan Klein, then Dooley Keefe.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I wanted to talk a little bit about Tioga County, which has scheduled a special meeting for this Thursday morning at 10 o'clock to vote on a resolution that would end funding for their public transportation system. This is tied into the issue of transporting Medicaid patients and how New York State funds that. And if we talked about that quite a bit here, how the funding has been shifted from public buses to private taxis. Tioga County has been unable to come to any kind of understanding with the state, and so it's likely that Thursday morning they're going to vote to end all funding for their public transportation system. They estimated it costs them $500,000 a year, and they just feel like they can't afford that. There are four Tioga Transit lines that come into Tompkins County, three of which go to Cornell, and one of which goes to Dryden. Of the ones that go to Cornell, one passes through Caroline, one passes through Danby, and one passes through West Danby. The West Danby one is the one that concerns me the most because there is no other public transport in West Danby. TCAT does not run a line out to West Danby. It was eliminated a year or two ago. TCAT estimates that it would cost about $200,000 to duplicate that service that Tioga Transit is providing, and that's $200,000 that TCAT does not have. If Tioga County goes ahead and ends the funding, as I expect they will this Thursday, then it starts a 60-day clock, and the whole transit system will end on November 30th. So that's all I have to say about this now. I am going to be looking for alternatives. I don't know what those are yet, but I will be looking. Thanks.
Thank you, Dan. Pretty grim news from our sister county. Dooley Keefer.
On a very different subject, on Monday, September 8th, Joe Mariana and I attended the ritual offering dance held on the eighth day of the 2014 Kala Chakra ritual ceremony, which was hosted for the first time at the Namgyal Monastery on South Hill in Ithaca. As invited guests, representing county government, we, along with other community leaders, got to experience really gracious hospitality of the monks and their students there. And especially, we got to observe this ritual dance, which included dancing, chanting, and percussive rhythm performed by both local and visiting monks who were expert in the dance. I hadn't been up to see the land on South Hill. It's lovely. And the building we were in is very light. You have a good sense of the outdoors. Frank Lloyd Wright would have approved of that. And there were lovely wooden floors. And the room that the ceremony took place in is very light and airy, but extremely colorful figurines and painting and symbols in there, too. We got to sit quietly and watch the dance ceremony for something under an hour. And then afterwards, all of the invited guests were ushered back into an adjoining room where tea and cake and cookies and many goodies were served. And before we left, each representative was gifted with two things. We had draped around our shoulders a very light scarf, which is lovely. I'm not sure where this should wind up, but it's the county's. And we were each given a wall hanging, which says the true meaning of life. We are visitors on this planet. We are here for 90 or 100 years at the very most. During that period, we must try to do something good, something useful with our lives. if you contribute to other people's happiness, you will find the true goal, the true meaning of life. And this is attributed to His Royal, the Honorable 14th Dalai Lama. So I hope that we can find somewhere in our chambers or on the stairway up to display this, Mike.
Thank you, Dooley. Thank you for representing the county at that pretty nice community event. Other legislators? Carol Chalk, then Dave McKenna.
Well, if you're looking for something useful to do that will contribute to the general chakra of the universe, I have something for you this, well, I don't, but there are people who have something for you this weekend, actually this entire week and into next week in New York City. There is the People's Climate Conversion, and they are using that word conversion, convergence is the word, conversion. Yes, let's convert. I think we've converted here, but they're using the word convergence to demonstrate the many, many angles and types of people and groups and faiths who are coming together to call on the world, because this is in concert with the UN, meetings at the UN, planning the next climate summit. You can find more information at peoplesclimate.org. The main event is Sunday. You can watch it live stream, I believe. It's one of the local churches is doing a gathering of faith-based people here for those who can't go. I think there are at least four buses, if not more now, going from Ithaca, from the campuses, from LACS. A couple are meeting up at Neighborhood Pride at that site. And the various groups that are participating, just the lineup goes for about 40 blocks of New York City. And you have your choice. If you go on that peoplesclimate.org, you can see the map. And they are broken into categories, front lines of crisis, forefront of change, the We Can Build the Future people who are labor, families, students, elders, and more. The We Have Solutions people, the We Know Who Is Responsible people, for those who think they know. The Debate Is Over people includes the scientists, the beekeepers, and others who have done research and have something concrete that way to add, wildlife preservation, healthy lifestyles, and to change everything, we need everyone. And in that category, community groups, neighborhoods, cities, states, countries, there are trains. There are about five train loads of people gathering and coming from different cities in California, four buses from different cities in Texas. There isn't a state in the union and many countries throughout the world who are converging on New York City. So it's very interesting, exciting set of events, and I'm hoping to come back with a copy of the map that was created by a group that's presenting it on Saturday of where all of the current energy fights are going on around New York State, places where people, as we did here, feel that their lifestyles and their way of life and their current economies are threatened by various proposals, many of them fracking related.
Thank you, Carol. Dave?
Good evening. I'd like to bring everybody's attention to the fact that on the 20th of September at 2 o'clock, Tompkins County Public Library will be hosting a forum on net neutrality, a 21st century necessity for democracy. The presentation will be done by Tracy Morano, who is a former director of information technology policy at Cornell and also author of the higher education blog, law, policy, and IT, and is currently working for Internet 2 on its national strategy for trusted identities in cyberspace. And Tracy also, by the way, is a member of our broadband committee. And I'd like to invite everybody to come out and participate in that and find out what you can about it, because it's going to be important to everyone.
David, is there a question?
September 20th at 2 o'clock in the Board Warner Room.
Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? Leslin.
Yeah, just as a quick add-on to what Carol had to say, and I originally planned and I'm going to New York City, Carol, but it didn't work out for me. But I just saw an email from Elon Shapiro that they will be, for those of us who cannot take the trip to New York City, will be having a march and gathering at DeWitt Park by the Presbyterian Church, members of the faith communities hosting in collaboration with what's going on with the convergence in New York City at 12:45. We'll meet there. There will be some walking around the block, rallying with signs and placards, et cetera, for other people here who cannot make it to New York City. So that will be on Sunday, 12:45, DeWitt Park. So come on down, even if you can't get on the bus and go to the city.
That's this coming Sunday, right?
This coming Sunday, the 21st. In honor of her dear former colleague, Frank, I want to meet Frank Proto. I want to mention the watch fire that's coming up on the 19th at Myers Park. I think it begins somewhere around 4 or 5 in the afternoon and goes a little bit into the evening. So please, if you can, come by. If I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, I go every year to put a log on the fire for my my uncle who served in Vietnam. And it is the fire that's built so that those who are missing in action, those who have been lost in combat, can see the fire and come home. It's a big bonfire. If you've never gone there, it's huge. And it is a really, really moving tribute to our men and women who served in the armed forces. So please, I know it will please Frank's heart to see any of us there on Friday. I just wanted to mention that.
Thanks, Leslin, and that's a really moving thing to go to. I've gone to it several years.
It is.
And one of the nicest things is that the young people in the ROTC units at Cornell come down as a mass group and participate. And it's heartwarming just to see that group, along with the Vietnam War veterans. The Sons of Union veterans are usually there, and others that come usually have a speaker.
And you get to see Frank in his uniform. Oh, come on now.
I think they start a little later. I think they start somewhere around 6.
Yeah, it's around 5, 6 to get started,
Anyone else want to speak? Could I just take a second and talk about tomorrow night? We will have another reading of The Language of War, the Civil War Commission again. It'll be at the Danby Federated Church in Danby. And Marcia, help me with the time. Is it 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
It's 7 o'clock. It's free. It's a nice reading of different articles from newspapers during the Civil War in the local area, letters and diaries that were put together by our county historian, Hammond. And if you want to come out to Danby and hear this program, it takes about an hour. It's a beautiful church, beautiful location out there. We'd be glad to have any of you and all of you come on out. It's open to the public, of course. Shall we move on? Well, I guess it brings me to the chair's report. And the only thing I wanted to mention on the chair's report is that we're going to try very hard to get a photograph taken of our legislature. We generally do that early in the year, but it didn't work out with the photographer. And Kathy Covert's been working diligently on getting someone to do that. And we'd really like to do it at our next meeting. And I wonder, is there anyone who at this point doesn't think they will be at the next meeting? So we'd like to get everybody if we can. That looks very promising. So, Kathy, I think why don't we try for the next meeting? What time? And you let us know by email what time we ought to be here, probably a few minutes before the meeting.
Probably 5 o'clock.
Probably 5 o'clock, if that works out for folks. Nathan, will that work out all right for you? Okay. So that we can have that for posterity. Martha?
That's the 7th, right?
Mm-hmm. The 7th?
Correct.
Okay. I'm not sure.
We'll Photoshop it.
You read my mind.
Backup date was what?
The 21st.
The backup date's the 21st. That we had.
That's actually better for me.
So we have one that would rather do it on the 21st. How about the rest of you? How's the 21st look for the rest of you? Carol?
The 21st, I think, would be better for me.
That's better for you, too?
Yeah.
21st of what?
October.
Thank you.
Okay. So we go. Shall we change it and plan on the 21st of October, then?
Sounds like a plan.
So?
Enough time to get my hair did.
I was going to say, fix your hair, and I'll comb what I have left, and we'll go ahead. I have an appointment. No, this is advisory board appointment. Excuse me. We'll go to the reports from our administration. Joe Mariani, county administrator.
Thanks, Mike. I have a very short report tonight and no slides, so I'll just go right through. The first thing is budget related. I handed out this sheet at the last budget meeting. I'm not sure everybody got it. This sheet that I'm pointing to is a summary of the OTRs that were submitted, what was requested, what's in the recommended budget. It might be a good thing to have in your notebook. So if you didn't get it during the budget meeting, I have several copies here tonight. You can pick those up from me. The only other thing on my list tonight on the report, I reported yesterday to F&I on our AED or defibrillator project that has been in progress for some time now. Did I pronounce it right?
Like February.
I'm happy to report that it's moving right along and that we are hoping that by the end of the year we have AED units that are installed in all of our buildings and many of our vehicles for our field crews. We will be coming to F&I in October and to the full legislature, I believe, right after that, to ask for an appropriation either out of contingency or reserves to be able to pay for that project. The estimate right now is in the range of $75,000 or so, but we're still refining our budget. Again, this is something that we talked about doing some time ago, and we are making really good progress on making it happen this year. So I just wanted to let you know it's moving along, and don't be surprised when we come forward with a request for funding of a project that I think all of us have agreed is really important to get going. So that's it. That's my report for tonight.
Questions for Joe. County Attorney Jonathan Wood. As you recall, we sent him to Alaska to make sure it was still there, and he's back.
It is still there. I don't have a report, but the discussion on pictures reminded me that the Tuesday of the next board meeting, I have a case in Albany that afternoon, so I expect I will be late. And because we're not taking pictures, I will not miss the pictures, but I'll probably miss the beginning of the meeting. But I have no other report.
Questions for John? Director of Finance, Rick Snyder.
I do have a report, but it's on the financial report for 2013. And I'll wait until we do the resolution on that, which will be introduced a little bit later. And so I'll hold my comments until that time.
Okay. Any other questions for Rick before we get to that point later? Resolutions to be added and withdrawn from the agenda. Jim.
Thank you, Michael. I would like to add the aforementioned acceptance of the audited financial report for the fiscal year ended December 31, 2013.
Is there a second? Seconded by Brian. Discussion? All those in favor of adding that to the agenda, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Those opposed? That's unanimous. Any other resolutions to add or withdraw? Okay. We're just plowing through tonight. Consent agenda. And we do have one appointment, advisory board to the Board of Health, Sue Merkel, an at-large representative, term expiring December 31st, 2015. We have on the consent agenda several resolutions. Remember, if you'd like them to be talked about later, just speak up and they'll be taken off and put on the regular agenda. Out of the Health and Human Services Committee, we have Resolution A, ID 5056, authorization to accept funds, execute contracts, and budget adjustment, syphilis reduction program at the Health Department. Resolution B, ID 5057, authorization to accept funds and budget adjustment, communicable disease incentive award, Health Department. Resolution C, ID 5060.
Hold off, please.
Yes. Resolution D, ID 5064, authorization for membership, National Association for the Education of Young Children, Health Department. Resolution E, ID 5066, budget adjustment, New York State Office of Mental Health, Mental Health Department. Resolution F, budget adjustments and transfers, Office for the Aging. I believe that completes the consent agenda. Do I have a motion on all except Resolution C? Dave McKenna, seconded by Dooley Kiefer. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? I believe that's unanimous. Let's see, who we got tonight? We've got Frank, you're here for a particular... The one that got pulled, okay. Peter, do you want to take Resolution C then?
Yes, I will move Resolution C. I don't have it here in front of me right now, so I got to find the ID number.
5060, budget adjustment, healthy neighborhoods program.
Yeah, 5060. Okay, well, the reason I took it off is not that I object to it, but I would like to explain it. It was I was asked about what that was, and I thought it was sort of interesting, so I'd like to explain it. It turns out that in the health department, sometimes they get grants which come with a cost of living adjustment so that when so that they get enough money to fund the work that's being done over a multi-year period, so they give them extra to so that they can pay that the staff that are doing it. But in sometimes the cost of living index goes up more than our pay raise goes up, so therefore there's some money left over. And state law allows that money to be used for something other than cost of living, although it limits the number of things that can be done with it. So for whoever is interested, that's what that is. And I'd like to move this resolution.
Peter, I know we have in the red folders a suggested change by Legislator Kiefer. Are you accepting those changes, or
no,
moving them, or what's happening?
No, it's not friendly.
Okay. All right, so you're moving the original resolution as drawn.
Correct.
All right, is there a second? Seconded by Kathy Luz Herrera. Discussion. Dooley Kiefer.
Well, the brief history is that I had wondered where the funds came from, and I asked Peter, and he didn't know at that time, so I asked staff to find out from the health department, and that's where this language came from. I think it's important to have an explanation in the minutes. So as long as some explanation based on what Peter said or what this says gets in the minutes, I'm fine.
Is that satisfactory to you, Peter?
Yes, that's satisfactory as long as it appears in the notes.
I'm asking for the explanation to be in the minutes for the public.
Okay, no, that's not friendly to me.
Okay.
I'd like to explain why I'm taking this position.
Peter, and then I'll get Carol.
I'm sorry. I have been here for a long time, and I find this business of making changes to the resolutions that are not necessary, do not have any meaning to them, are only a explanation of things. I think it's not something that we ought to do. I think it takes time, and there's no good reason for it. So that's why I take that position.
Carol?
I'd like to propose an amendment that I hope will be seen as friendly, that would just add, whereas the health department, I guess it would be on line 6, whereas the health department received COLA funds, and I'd like to add, from New York State or from the New York State Department of Health, and it would continue as it is otherwise. And the reason that I think that this is important is I think it is our general practice to say in our resolutions where funds come from. And I think that as policymakers, it is important for us to know where funds are coming from that we're accepting. I've brought it up for other departments. If they're private sources, if they're public sources, just it's a good practice. So I hope that would be friendly. It doesn't have to do a whole thing with my minutes or notes or anything. It just would be right there in the resolution. So I'd like to offer that as an amendment.
I don't think I got a second. That may be my fault. Peter, you moved that resolution, right? In the original form.
I moved the original form, yes.
I'm sorry? And Kathy, you seconded it. Okay. Very good. Then you're asking for the mover and seconder to accept those changes as friendly?
Yeah, but I'm offering it as an amendment.
You want to move an amendment?
I'm moving an amendment just to say where the funds came from.
Is there a second for the amendment? Seconded by Leslin. Discussion on the amendment. Ready to vote on? I'm sorry. Martha, go ahead.
I support it. I think it's a reasonable thing to put
ready
there.
Ready to vote on the amendment? Those in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. That amendment passes. Are we ready to vote on the amendment, or rather to vote on the resolution as amended? All those in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Those opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. Let's go. I see Susie Cook in the audience. Why don't we go to Public Safety Committee. Brian, could you move Resolution G?
I can. I just have a. Do you want me to do the reports real short and then move that?
Why sure?
Okay. Thank you. Public Safety Committee met on September 8th. This resolution that we have before us, or going to have before us, was one topic. The routine sheriff's report and the balance of our time was actually held in executive session. Dealing with a complaint / personnel matter. The next meeting is going to be, I think, October 14th. As you recall, the 13th is Columbus Day observed, and the feeling is, as long as there's not a great deal of material for that meeting, it'll be held prior to the EBC meeting on the 14th. And I would like to offer Resolution G, ID 5065, accepting the July 2014 report of the Jail Alternatives Task Force.
Is there a second? Seconded by Dooley Kiefer. Remember, we had a presentation of this at the last meeting or the meeting before. I forgot. So discussion about the resolution. Jim Dennis, then Kathy Lucero.
Thank you, Michael. I voted no in the committee, and the reason I voted no in the committee was that the committee has encouraged the county administrator to incorporate the near-term recommendations in the 2015 tentative budget that will be considered by county ledge, et cetera. I voted for it because, in my mind, that sets forth something in the budget before we ever get an opportunity to vote on it, one up or down. While I think it's probably a wonderful idea, I don't appreciate the fact that every committee could now get in the business of, well, we're going to put that in the budget and we're going to put this in the budget. And it sort of takes the whole process and spreads it out in a way that I don't think is good for the process that we have in place. So that's why I voted against it at the committee. And I would move to delete line 8 and line 9.
I have a motion to delete lines 8 and 9 from the proposed resolution. Is there a second for that? Seconded by Peter Stein. Discussion on the amendment.
I think you mean page 2, Jim, not page 1.
I'm sorry?
The second page of the resolution, not the first page of the resolution.
It's on page.
Can you recite packet page, please?
Yeah.
Packet page 13. No.
13.
Okay.
In the whereas.
On the amendment. Peter?
Yeah, I'm not voting on this. I'm agreeing with Jim. I'm not voting this either. Seconding the amendment because I'm either for or against this. I think it's a procedural change, and I don't see why we ought to start that. So I don't think we should be doing that.
Kathy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I was very interested in the progress of this task force, as I'm somebody that feels very strongly that we need to continue to improve our approaches. On the whole, I like this report, and I think it's fine for us to accept it. I thought it was really good, though, that Jim and Peter noticed that particular place where we're kind of doing an in-run around the budget. And, I'd like to do that for a living wage and there's about 10 things that I'd like to do that for. So it will definitely be a precedent for me if this was passed as is. So, in short, I wouldn't mind removing lines 8 and 9 from page my packet 13, where it says, whereas the Public Safety Committee has encouraged the county administrator to incorporate the near-term recommendations in the 2015 tentative budget that will be considered. The Public Safety Committee might have done it, but if I'm approving this on the legislature, that's the one you're talking about, isn't it, Jim? It's kind of tricky. So, listen, I want to support this, so it would be great if we went ahead and took it out so that I can support and accept the recommendation of the Alternatives Task Force, the Jail Alternatives Task Force.
Martha, then Carol.
That's why I voted against this at the committee, because I was in favor of the resolution that came to the committee, but the amendment that was proposed added language that I didn't approve. Now, Jim, I thought it was line 17 and 18.
That's the only language that was endorsed.
Not 8 and 9.
Endorsed.
In other words, my memory anyway was that what was added in the amendment was endorses the recommendations in the report. I didn't think, and I don't object so much to 8 and 9. In other words, 8 and 9 kind of just says we like what we see in this report. We encourage you to try to fit it in.
Oh, yeah, you're right. My mistake. 17?
Well, 17 and 18 there.
Yeah,
and endorses the recommendations in the report.
Okay, let's see if we can
really
straighten
lost.
This out.
Right.
Jim, are you trying to change your proposed amendment now?
Yeah, I am.
All right.
Or if Martha wants to, she
can. Why don't you withdraw the original amendment, see if that can be withdrawn by the seconder.
I will withdraw it.
Peter, will you allow that withdrawal,
sure.
The seconder? All right. Now, I'll come back to you if you want to make any other kind of an amendment.
No, we'll substitute deleting line 17 and line 18.
No, just...
After issue.
After issue.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Can we accept them?
Okay.
The sentence stops at
policy issue.
So you would stop the resolved in line 17
at a public policy
after issue. Okay. Is there a second to that? Peter Stein.
So if I can...
Discussion on the new amendment. Martha, Carol, Dooley.
So in other words, then the resolved is that the committee extends its appreciation for the diligence, insights, and recommendations regarding this policy issue. Period. That's what was brought to the committee. The language that said endorses the recommendations in the report, well, some people interpreted that as saying, well, that doesn't really mean you're going to be committed to voting for that in the budget. Some people say, well, but it kind of sounds like it is, or it's certainly a subjective statement to have that. It could be mostly because of one full-time position that's included in those recommendations. The other, I think everything else is more or less a commitment of existing staff resources here versus there. So the big issue was adding one full-time staff person. While I may be very, very supportive, I am very supportive of that and very interested in making sure and seeing if we can fit that into the budget, I didn't want to commit to that here. I want that to be part of the bigger discussion.
Carol?
I'm confused now. I'd like to point out that I may need help with this visual because I can't pick this up at this angle. Can you help me hold this up? So here's our budget. Almost every line of every page includes items that we have over the years, over this past year and the years before, designed as programs and encouraged the administrator to include in the budget. There are items that we've encouraged him to include in the budget and even passed here, to wit, the 0.75% increase each year for the capital plan. You know, that he's come back and said, I don't recommend that we do that. And nothing that's in here becomes part of the budget until we actually go through the budget process. So to me, this is a false distinction. That we're really putting the cart before the horse by making such an issue of this. And then on the word endorse, I will say we don't have an official terminology. We have tried to have official terminology, endorsing as opposed to accepting or adopting. If this said adopt, that would be making a decision. We were asked to pull some other resolutions that had
Carol, you're opposing.
So I'm opposing the amendment. You know, if it passes, it's not going to cause me to vote against this thing. But I think that we're making a really big deal out of something that isn't an issue yet. And I'd urge us to not go this route.
Okay, I got a bunch of speakers, and actually two left over from the last amendment before it was changed. Let me go, Leslin, Brian, Dooley, Jim, Martha.
So I no longer want to talk about the last amendment because it has been changed. That's why I was furiously waving my hand.
Well, this was on the current amendment.
That made no sense. The other amendment, I am not going to say much more than what Carol just said because that's exactly where it is. The budgets come before us. Things come before us. This is not the first time that we've endorsed something that the county administrator include in his budget that he presents to us, and then we end up voting stuff out. We take stuff out and we put other stuff that he didn't even put in the budget into the budget. So this is not a commitment. It troubles me that we ask people to do all this work, which I'm sorry, you all, but it begins to feel like pretense to say, go do this work. We are gung-ho about, you know, trying to make some change here. Let's put this committee together. And then when we want to do something as simple as say, we endorse the work that you're presenting to us, it becomes a big deal. For crying out loud, I'm sorry. It just feels like some false movement. I can't find a better way of saying it right now. And we have said to this committee of people who work so hard. Now it's, you know, it feels like I'm voting on something in the budget. A county administrator can put whatever the county administrator wants to put in his budget. And it's up to us to decide whether we want to accept or not accept that. So if he put a halftime position in there, we can decide to vote it out. Or we can decide to put two positions in there instead. This does not commit us to anything. I don't feel like endorsing has committed me to anything. And I remember sitting, not around this table, but the other table, where Jonathan was trying to interpret for us what was the difference between endorse, adopt, accept. And we have endorsed things because we felt very comfortable that it was not committing us to anything, except saying we appreciate the work and we are willing to look at it.
Brian.
Thanks. And I hear what everybody is saying. And first off, let me just say.
This is on the amendment now.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. I don't think there's anyone around the table that has any dispute with anything regarding the report or the task force. But I tend to agree that when you have a phrase right at the end endorsing the recommendations, and the recommendations themselves have budgetary monies attached to them, we have a process for that, and we're in it anyway. I don't think most of this stuff is not going to be in dispute at all. Some of it's in the budget, some of it's in the form of OTRs, and some of it probably hasn't even been invented yet. You know, that's part of CJATI, and some recommendations that will come back to public safety. So I don't think it changes the meaning of the report, of the task force, or anything to leave that out. If there are people that are uncomfortable with it, and I wrestled with this myself, and quite frankly, the only reason I voted for where it says and endorses the recommendations, that was actually an amendment at committee. That was not in there before. And I voted for this only because it had to come before all of us, and it would not have otherwise. But I would hate to see the good work of the task force not be received unanimously because of something like this. And this resolution reads perfectly without those words in it and with a period after issue. We all know that this stuff is before us. It's already before us. And it will continue to be.
On the amendment, Jim Dennis.
Everyone who argues eloquently to leave it in is exactly the reason that I'm opposed to it, because what you're really saying is if the county administrator has it in the budget, but the county administrator budget is just the county administrator's budget. It is not the 2015 budget. It has not been voted up or down on. And it would be very interesting to me to be a member of F&I, which I am, and also public safety and also economic development, that each of the chairs decided there was something that they wanted to make sure got in the budget, then they would bring it to the legislature and we would all vote on it and say, yeah, we agree with that, so it should be in the budget. And maybe the county administrator has it or not. I think, and I'm not a huge process person. I learned all of this from all of you about being a process person. And to me, this is like flies in the face of process. And that's why these words should not be in. And I totally support the work that the people did. And I agree that there should be someone else in OAR or wherever this wants to go. But I think there's a process. And it's the one we signed up for, and that's the one we should follow.
I think I missed Dooley. Dooley, you're next. Then Martha, Kathy, Leslin. On the amendment.
Right. There's an irony here. The wording that is before the legislature came out of the Public Safety Committee by a 3-2 vote, which means it is the product of the Public Safety Committee. And it is not legitimate for the legislature to undo what the Public Safety Committee says about itself. If the language in the resolution said the legislature endorses the recommendations, that would be appropriate for the legislature to vote on. But it's not appropriate for the legislature to say the Public Safety Committee didn't say this or didn't do this, so they did do it, but we're going to take it out anyway. It's the opinion of the majority of the Public Safety Committee at that point in time. And it doesn't even bind members of the Public Safety Committee as to how they're going to vote in the expanded budget committee. It's an expression of opinion. So I think that the amendment is out of order.
Martha, Kathy, Leslin, then let's see if we can vote on the amendment.
Well, that's a new one, and it's a little too cute by half. I'm sorry. If endorses the recommendations doesn't really mean a big deal, then why are we fighting about it? Why was there a fight to put it in? It clearly intends to put a thumb on the scales to make sure, while we're looking at this budget, look, we endorse the recommendations. We must really mean that we're going to be, can we all predict we're going to hear that, you know, when it comes time?
I doubt it because everybody's
talking.
Here too.
So I think the conversation about adopt versus accept, I don't remember the word endorse being in that list. It was accept and adopt. I don't remember endorse when Jonathan talked about this language. But at any rate, the point is that it's actually quite subjective. And I will tell you that my perception of this will require me to vote against the entire resolution if endorses the recommendations is included. And you can do what you want. I would really love to be able to accept and thank the committee and not be on record voting against this resolution. If this really means that much to certain people that you want to get your thumb on the scales, then it'll have to be less than a unanimous resolution. But I really think that there's an intention here. That's why it was put in. That's why it was brought to us, and that's why it was put in. And I just don't think that that's legitimate because it's a budgetary decision that we make in the context of everything else. So I really don't think it's fair. To include this.
Kathy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have to tell y'all, I'm sort of been derailed by this whole discussion because I started off thinking it was about something different, which it may seem subtle for it to be in the whereas rather than the resolve, but to me, that's important. I could probably disagree with part of everything that everyone has said, but here's what hits the nail on the head for me. This is where it got me. You know, the living wage group went through a lot, and we came up with a very similar resolution, and we hoped that it would allow some policy thumb on the scale or discussion about it, and I understand that the county administrator is doing his best to augment the salaries of certain contracted employees, and I'm appreciative of that. What comes up for me when I see this is that this group is trying to do the same thing. Okay, the wording is funny, and I do agree with Dooley on that, and don't really think it's cute. For me, it's literal. It is kind of funny because it's talking about the Public Safety Committee. I love this report personally. I know that a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into it. I'd like to accept it, and I'm wondering if there couldn't be a way that, and y'all are going to hate me for this, but would it be a bad thing to send it back to committee and just get the words to where it's the legislature? Because I'm willing to accept it. And you know what? At this point, the endorsing the recommendation isn't even a game stopper for me. I just want to, what's that awful phrase they're using these days? Let's put a pin in it, and then we can know the next time this comes up, let's just pass lots of resolutions saying that we want the county administrator to notice this in his budget, and let's bring it up when we want to, because if that's what our evil intentions are, that's part of being legislator, and I'll try and find every way I can to advocate for the things that I think are important.
We're on the amendment, so let's.
So, as far as the amendment goes, which the amendment is, I guess, removing endorsing the recommendations from the resolved, is part of what comes up for me. I can kind of go either way because it's about the Public Safety Committee, and what I'm saying is the Public Safety Committee personally. I'll see how it ends up, but I kind of didn't care at the beginning unless that whereas was taken out. It's clear the whereas isn't even the issue, so I must be way out of touch on this one. Let me listen to the rest of the discussion. I usually think I know exactly what's going on, but I just totally missed it on this one.
Last one.
Thank you. Martha, I am really sorry. There are no ulterior motives, and I actually feel a little taken aback that you would think I, for one, who wanted this language, has my thumb on some scale somewhere, aside from just letting people know who work so hard, how supportive we are of the work that they have done. We don't have anything else that we are recommending right now to reduce jail population. We put this committee in place to help us get there. So I don't see anything wrong with endorsing it. And I also find it a little troubling that you would call what Dooley just said in terms of whether something was proper protocol or not a new one. She brought that up in committee. Dooley brought that up in committee saying the committee can do what the committee wants. We're not committing the legislature because, if I remember clearly, the language that Dooley wanted to put in there was that the legislature endorses, and we said, no, we're not doing that. The committee can do, and we moved the committee language instead. So that's not a new one. That one was mentioned before at that point. I don't have any thumb on any scale. I'm not trying to end run any process. Of all the people who are on the table, definitely not me. It's just a matter of really giving people some legitimate feeling, some legitimate confirmation that we actually care about the things that they, the work they did, the things they are proposing. We're not promising anything. We're just saying, yes, we actually do care. We like this. We don't have anything else to endorse. What else do we have? We haven't done any other work to say we are going to rah-rah behind this. So I'm sorry. I just can't go down that line. And, Brian, it reads fine to me when it ends with that last phrase as well. Just like it reads fine to you when it ends at policy, it reads fine to me when it ends up to report. So we all have different opinions, and we're probably not going to change each other's mind. So we might as well just vote on the doggone thing and get it over and done with.
Well, I really want to vote on this amendment. Peter Stein has his hand up, and so does Martha. And so can we end there and vote and then get back to the full amendment, full resolution?
I would like to endorse what Martha said. I don't want to repeat it. I feel very strongly about having procedures which are well-defined and everybody knows exactly how it goes. I was I was on the town board of Ithaca for some period of time, and I found the budget-making process to be very, very ill-defined, and it was never clear to me exactly when it is I had something to say and when it is I didn't have something to say, and how you go about putting your ideas into it. When I came to the legislature for the first year, I was totally confused. I didn't understand what was happening. But after a while, I had a very clear understanding of how things are done, okay? First, the county administrator does something, and he or she does that by him or herself, makes a proposal. And then the legislature gets its turn to make changes to what the county administrator has done. And then we vote on it, the end product. And it's straightforward. I knew exactly where I had time to put my two cents into it. And I think that's absolutely crucial in a good government. And I really admire the procedure that you people have developed. And I think any kind of a change to that, where you try to force the county administrator to do something, either positive or negative, hurts that hurts that process. So that's why I'm going to vote against it. Has nothing to do, my vote has got nothing to do with the merits of the case. It has to do with process.
Martha?
Thank you, Mike. You know what, I hear what you're saying, Leslin, but sitting at the Public Safety Committee, that last resolve made sense. Okay, well, the Public Safety Committee is doing this thing. It didn't register with me that usually when they get to the ledge, those resolutions say the legislature does blah, blah, blah. So as it's written right now, I mean, somehow usually the resolves always talk about the legislature. The first one will say on recommendation of the committee that the legislature does this and the legislature does that. So in a sense, what I'd like to see, because I hope that this amendment will be defeated, I would further, the next step would be to take that resolve further that the county legislature extended its gratitude and sincere appreciation, so that the second resolve does make it clear that all of us are appreciative and admire the recommendations. It just doesn't ring true. If endorse doesn't imply anything additional besides what's in there, then why was it suggested? And I would also suggest that the chair of the committee, just now, I'm sorry to put words in Brian's mouth, but he just said he voted for it so it would get to this body. Sounds like, in fact, three members of the Public Safety Committee did not actually agree with this. So I would ask that people reject this amendment.
I really want to get to a vote. Carol, can you get – how about 30 seconds for Carol and 30 seconds for Kathy?
So
Brian,
Peter,
30 seconds. That's a minute and a half already. Carol?
I sympathize with what you've said about our budget process, and I agree that that's a good process. But we all have a lot of ideals and a lot of policy things we'd like to achieve, and we have a lot of documents that set up those aims. We would like to get to zero carbon emissions and methane emissions, some of us. We would like to get to a place where we've got full employment. We would like to get to a place, and we have lots and lots of things and plans and policies that we've passed trying to get us there. And I resent that this report is being somehow singled out for attention that somehow if we endorse this one, we're making a financial commitment. That's what just doesn't make sense to me here. So I hope that we'll treat this the way we have other things.
Thanks. Sorry about hitting this three times. It took me a while to figure it out. I'm and this is my personal assessment, giving the impression that a lot of folks want to make sure they put a roadblock in the way of the potential extra person that might be going to OAR. And I know for me that would be, I'm sorry, I just have to talk about what I sense. And for me, that's going to be a real cost saver. And if that's the deal, then, you know, I'll just go ahead and accept this just the way it is, because I really didn't know that that's what this whole thing was about. Now, some of y'all might argue, and that's okay. That's what we're here for. But that's where I'm at, and you're going to see me vote in opposition to removing endorses the recommendation and for the original resolution, as I believe I supported somebody on way back an hour ago.
Brian?
Thanks. And just as a point of clarification, no, Martha, you weren't putting words in my mouth. I actually said that a little while ago. Can I offer yet another amendment, or do we have to wait to vote this down? It's a very simple one.
Amendment to the amendment, or you want to amend it some other way? Yes, you can move an amendment to the amendment.
Why don't we just have the last part, and instead of endorses, which is a strong word to some folks, me included, why can't that last sentence match the title of the resolution, which is actually accept?
That's the first resolve.
So you're motion would be to amend the amendment to leave the language
except
change endorses to accepts.
Yes.
Is there a second on the amendment to the amendment? Not seeing one, Brian.
Well, should that say the legislature then?
Jim, are you raising your hand for a second?
No, I'm not.
Okay. All right, so that that fails for lack of a second.
Trying to reach a compromise.
So we're back on the amendment as proposed. Jim, please be sure.
It came to me from a person much smarter than me that if you look at lines 4, 5, and 6, the Public Safety Committee appreciates the diligent and insightful work undertaken by the task force and supports both the near-term recommendations and the task force call for continued review, et cetera. I think what I suggested, taking out and endorses the recommendations, is still a good thing to do because it's already been done up there in lines 4, 5, and 6. So the committee's, you know, near term and committee's report. So I think that would suffice for what everyone wants to do.
Okay, I think there isn't a whole lot of new information here at this point. I'd like to move to a vote on the amendment, and the amendment is in the final resolved to, in line 17, end that resolve after the word issue, period, and delete the rest of that. All those in favor of that amendment to this resolution, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That fails. And that's the first time that we've had a 7-7 vote.
Amendment.
Get a Bible.
In the past.
Who didn't vote?
On the resolution. Are we ready to vote on the resolution? You want to talk some more about that? Martha Robertson.
With deep regret, I'm going to vote against this resolution for the reasons stated here. And it has nothing to do with whether eventually I will vote for or against the additional position for OAR. I really, without any prejudice, I really want to approach the entire budget. I would like the records to show that I feel strongly that the word endorse implies prejudgment about a budget line for a full-time staff person. And I just don't want to be committed to that decision at this moment. I want to, I would wish we could have a clean resolution that celebrates and appreciates the work of this important task force. So I hope that's in the record because I'm afraid I have to vote against this.
Peter Stein.
I don't want to repeat everything Martha said, but I agree with it. I think it's too bad that we will not have a unanimous vote here, but so be it, because I do feel strongly about the procedurals.
Ready to vote? All those in favor of
Can
the...
Can I ask for a roll call vote, please?
Certainly. We will have a roll call vote, and this is on the resolution as it came from committee.
Mr. Dennis?
No.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
No.
Mr. Robison?
No.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Sigler?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
Mr. Stein?
No.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes. Does anyone want to change his or her vote? Please read the results.
9 ayes, 5 noes.
The resolution is agreed to.
Thank you. That is really a shame.
Yes, it is.
It's really a shame.
Please, let's just move on. I'd like to go to facilities and infrastructure next.
I don't know what the deal is.
So, Kathy, could you take your report now, please?
Actually, we have a report there.
My report is Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, and I can tell you that we met, yesterday. Was it yesterday? Gosh, that seems a long time ago. We had a lively discussion. We're working on a lot of things. One of the things that happened was Joe talked to us about Mega, and that was interesting. Was that it? No, that was it, Health and Human Services. It's all blurring into one. I know what you talked to us about. It was the defibrillators, and you gave us a heads up on that. We also worked on the three resolutions that you see here. I'm going to go ahead and start with the first one and the second one, and then I'm going to ask Dave McKenna if he'll move the third one. And let's start with Resolution H, authorization to enter into an agreement to procure electricity pending committee action 9-15-14. That was yesterday, and I so move.
Is there a second? Seconded by Dave McKenna. Discussion.
Y'all know we've been a member of MEGA for a long time. One of the things that we're trying to do is to make it even more sustainable, and I know that members of this body are trying to help us with that. It may not be perfect yet, but I believe that our participation in this is really important. It's not a huge amount, but it's significant because it shows that we're willing to help this movement along. So that's the reason I'm supporting it, but there were some nuances brought up in discussion, and I assume that they might be brought up now, but at some point Joe can explain it in real words, the technical words.
So let me provide a little backup. We always bring our energy purchase to the legislature. So every so often, usually it's every 2 years, we have to renew a finite energy purchase. It runs a certain period of time, and we're at that point right now. And in fact, our current energy contract with a company called Integris, which is the group that MEGA has selected as the energy service company, the two-year contract will expire at the end of this year. So we could let it go until then, but the way this works is we buy our power, if we can, when the price is the lowest, because that price then sticks with us throughout the life of this contract. So we'd like to buy in front of the expiration of the contract. So we're asking you to approve this now so that we can enter into a contract now that would run until the end of September in 2016. Our fear is if we wait, the price is going to go up, and we will pay additional dollars for that. I think the important point to be made here is we've talked to you about, first of all, the sources of fuel for this energy purchase that we currently buy. We spent a lot of time 2 years ago talking about that. I think it's really important for you to know that although this power is as affordable as you can buy power, it doesn't mean that it's dirty power. And we talked about, again, 2 years ago, we talked about the mix of fuel sources involved in the conventional power purchase that we do. And we showed you at that time only 11% of the fuel sources for this power we're buying comes from coal plants. The rest of it comes from hydro, nuke, gas, and so forth. So in terms of the power that we're buying right now, it's as affordable as we can get, but it's not dirty power. We've also talked about how do we further push, and before I get to the further push, something else I want to add. As a part of our utility purchase, we are also purchasing what are called renewable energy credits, or RECs. We did it last time, too. And again, I don't want to burden you because we spent a lot of time talking about this a couple of years ago. But in purchasing RECs, we basically pay a little bit more. And in our case, for the entire energy purchase, it's $11,000 or $12,000 more. But in doing that, we basically leverage the production and generation of renewable energy in this country. We talked last time about how these RECs go to purchase, in our case, domestic wind power. I'm not going to go through the complex mechanics of it, but this is the way that we drive the generation of renewable power in this country. This is what we do. And our energy purchase will include these renewable energy credits. It also includes an added layer of assurance that our desire to make sure that these renewable energy credits end up in the right place is fulfilled. It's called a Green E certification. It's a third-party group that goes out and makes sure you're really buying renewable energy that's not already claimed by somebody else. They can tell you where you're buying it. So we've really created a fail-safe belt and suspenders approach to be able to buy basically 100% renewable power through these RECs. That's a part of what you would be approving tonight. It puts us among those who really are in the gold standard of purchasing renewable. That's what you're doing tonight. We've also talked to you about how do we push to the next step through MEGA in renewables. And we've had a conversation about how this new relationship with MEGA will ultimately allow us to enter into remote net metering arrangements that will leverage the production of additional renewable power in our part of New York State, and we're pursuing that diligently right now. These things seem a little contradictory. Why would you buy conventional power when within a few years or so you're going to be able to have these more direct relationships with renewables? It's because of the nature of this deal that we're entering into with MEGA for the future, which is net remote metering or remote net metering. It's a credit against our utility bill. So there will still be an underlying vendor of energy. We will still be buying energy through companies like Integrys, but there will be a credit against that cost because of these new relationships with the new renewable power providers. So it's kind of a long story that I'm trying to make as short as I can. What we're here tonight to ask for is approval of the next energy purchase agreement through MEGA, provided by Integrys at the most affordable rate that we can find. And in doing that, it doesn't preclude at all, in fact, it's required for, the next wave of energy purchases that we'd like to do. So I'm not sure if that clarified or confused, but that's...
It helped me out.
We've got a couple of hands. Carol, then Dooley.
Yeah, I voted against this in committee. It came to me. I hadn't had time before the committee meeting, in between when I got my agenda and the committee meeting, to assure myself of exactly what this was. I don't necessarily assume that because the U.S. Department of Energy says that something is clean energy, or because a company says something is clean energy or cleaner energy, that it really is. And so I wanted time to assure myself that this technique would accomplish what we want it to, and that it fit with what our planning staff has been working on. I have done that now.
I wanted to ensure that the RECs, that the purchasing RECs are committing to purchase RECs for the entire year of 2015 wouldn't stand in the way that we, of achieving our aims, that we wouldn't have allocated our energy dollars if an opportunity comes up to move forward with one of these net, remote net metering situations. And I have been assured that that is true, and so I'm prepared to vote for this here and would encourage other people to as well. I think that given the options available right now for us to purchase energy that we aren't currently and aren't likely to be producing as of January 1st, 2015, right here in the county in a truly renewable way, that this is probably the best option.
Dooley.
I'm not on the Facilities Committee, but I attended the meeting at which this got discussed because it had the committee had a really interesting agenda. This wasn't the only interesting item on it. I have always had some qualms about RECs, renewable energy certificates, because they let the buyer pretend that they're buying green power when really they're buying whatever their supplier is sending them. And that's not the worst thing that I worry about. The thing I worry about the most has to do with where the money goes and what it gets used for. Companies that offer RECs have their own expenses to run their business. And there's a good chance that as much as half of what they get in REC payments will help them keep their business going, but maybe half will go to build new renewable energy or purchase some offsetting activity such as planting trees somewhere else. So what Joe mentioned at the Facilities Committee is that this energy is coming from a wind farm called Rolling Hills in Iowa. Well, a wind farm sounds good, but Joe didn't know whether that farm was already built or whether it was partially built and was still being added to. And so I tried to find out more about it today. And what I found out about it is that it's absolutely huge. It was completed in 2011, so it's not adding any new renewable energy, but it has credits that it can sell. And Rolling Hills has 66 turbines. It's a 99-megawatt generating plant. It's huge. It's owned by Pacific Corporation, which operates in the West, both as Pacific Power and as Rocky Mountain Power. But in turn, that is a subsidiary of Mid-American Energy Holdings, which is an even bigger group. So I couldn't track down through any of these places where the REC money gets used. That's part of their budget, which is not easy to find. So I can't answer that question for myself. But I can answer the question that whatever the REC money goes to, it's not going to enlarge this wind facility. It's not clearly putting new renewables on the ground. So I am sorry to say that much as I would like us to be able to say, yes, all of our energy is clean energy, we can't say that. We get a lot of our energy just from the grid. And the grid is a mix of things. Unfortunately, our Public Service Commission is woefully behind saying what it is from year to year. 2009 is as recent a time as one can find out what the mix is in New York State, let alone anywhere else. So I will be voting against this because, in my opinion, $12,000, which is what I think Joe said these would cost, is $12,000 that we could spend better for something else than just to, quote, greenwash, unquote, our energy.
Are we ready to vote?
Yes.
On the resolution, or Resolution H, authorization to enter into the agreement to procure the electricity, All those in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
One, two, three, four. And those opposed? We have two opposed.
And I have resolution I. ID number 5083, authorization to execute design funding agreement with New York State Department of Transportation, Pine Tree Road, CR 174 intersection improvements at Ellis Hollow Road and East Hill Plaza entrance, Town of Ithaca, pending committee action, and that was yesterday, and I so move.
Kathy, are you moving the revised version that was in the red packet?
Yes, thank you, as adopted by the committee yesterday, which has a slight change in title. Thanks for the reminder, which the title is now Authorization to Execute Scoping and Design. Thank you. And
there's a small change in the second or third resolved, right?
Right. That would be line 32 to cover the cost of participation in the scoping and design phases of the project. Thanks.
So we have a motion. Is there a second? Seconded by Dave. Discussion.
Just briefly, I want to refer to the memo that we got, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of y'all got it. You know that that intersection there across from the Tops, you know, at East Hill Plaza, across from the, is that Tops? Thank you, PNC. It's not really a pedestrian crossing. It's been a site of many accidents, and we want to fix that. And we've gotten an opportunity to do that, an agreement with New York State Department of Transportation to be reimbursed for costs at an amount of like 90%. The federal share is $257,000, and the county share is $28,000. We're going to get pedestrian crosswalk up there at the filling station. We're going to get a, you know how they did, define the crosswalk when you, am I saying something wrong? When Jonathan's shaking his head like that, I get worried. Right now it's a mid-block crosswalk, 200 feet from the Ellis Hollow Road intersection. And the project proposes addressing the situation by eliminating the former mid-block crossing and relocating approximately 425 feet of bicycle pedestrian trail to direct crossings to the currently signalized intersection and adding a pedestrian signal there. That's the right way to say it. So I think it's a good project, and I'm hoping that we can get your support. I think we got full support at the committee.
Martha Robertson?
Although I think this is Peter Stein's district, I know the area very well. I would certainly support improving the area at the signal, at the traffic light.
Mm-hmm.
However, the reality is, a lot of people go to the drugstore and then cross to go to the grocery store and vice versa. And they are just not going to walk up to the traffic light and then back and come back again. So what the suggestion here is, the new design would help for people who are coming, say, from the town of Ithaca, from Mitchell Street, or coming from Judd Falls Road, they'll have a better intersection. I think if you completely remove the crosswalk, the mid-block crosswalk, you're not going to change the behavior of people who are just going to scoot from the drugstore to the PNC. You may make it more dangerous for them. I think it's great to improve what you've got at the traffic light, but people don't go way out of the way just to get to a traffic light. They're going to try to run across.
And if I could address that,
sure.
I think it's true that people will cross there. I think there's a lot of able-bodied people, though, like me, that when offered a safer alternative would much rather have a pedestrian light, which isn't there right now. So the notion that there's a pedestrian light and I have to walk just a little further for it, for me, it's worth it because it is safer. As I'm getting older, I'm noticing crossing that street, even when there is a pedestrian light, is always something to be wary of. So for me, having that pedestrian light there is a big motivator. I agree. There's people that are going to possibly skateboard across and, you know, on their hands. But for the best we can do here, I think it makes it safer. It has been the site of several serious accidents with people who were trying to cross at what they felt was a legitimate crosswalk. I think what this does is take away some of the liability of making people think this is really a safe place to cross and says to them, go down here, you've got a place to cross. So for me, that's why I think this is an excellent idea, and It might even help, as you said, the drivers make a better distinction as they're making that turn between what isn't a pedestrian and what is.
Ready to vote on Resolution I. Peter?
No, I'll pass.
All those in favor of Resolution I, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Those opposed? That's unanimous.
And now I have Resolution J, and I wonder if Dave would be willing to help me out here.
Dave, do you want to move Resolution J?
I will move Resolution J, ID 5086, award of bid, Tompkins County Human Services Building Addition and Alterations Project.
Is there a second? Seconded by Peter Stein. Discussion. Kathy?
I just want to say that I think this is a great project. For me, there was just an issue with one of the contractors, and so for me, I'm going to vote against the resolution. It in no way means that I'm against the project. It's just a personal distinction.
Anyone else? Ready? Carol?
Will you be giving a report, Kathy, about the discussion that we had at committee about potentially revisiting some of the policies that resulted in us not being able to hire the local contractor? Is that the one that... No, you're not. Okay, then I will bring it up.
I know here. You will.
Okay. Well, no, if you were going to, I was not going to upstage you.
I appreciate that.
Okay. So this resolution stimulated some interesting discussion at committee. As you know, right now our policy requires us to take the low bidder of the people who have apprenticeship programs. And there are local contractors who came and spoke to us. One in particular, it was people from the electrical workers came and talked to us about the training programs and apprenticeship programs that they run and that they feel do a better job of actually training people and then placing people in jobs. And that the policy, essentially the nature of a discussion was that the policy that we have now has a very good aim to train people and place them and make sure that our people, residents of our county, are employed and that we can hire them and the companies that hire them for the projects that we do. But we don't always achieve that. And I ended up voting for this. We grappled with this. We've grappled with it on other projects. And the recommendation, I think, that we made was that it is time to look at that. And whether – not that the aim wasn't good or isn't good, but that are we achieving the aim that we wanted? I thought it was too soon to try to – overturn and vote against this because, in fact, in this case it was the electrical contractor. They were the low bidder. We probably get local companies that don't even bid because they know they can't meet that requirement. And then we also had some conversation about the extent to which we do due diligence about the various factors that are all of our policies. So... I'll support this, but it was a good discussion, and we were hoping to have continued discussion about that issue at both F&I, and it would probably come to GO if we were talking about revisiting a policy for the future.
Martha?
Carol, can I understand? Are you saying the issue was about local, that they want to see local as in county employees? Tompkins County?
Employee residents of the county who have these skills, these skilled trades, are not necessarily getting hired for our local jobs because the companies...
Okay. I know at the IDEA we've struggled with the word local. We have a regional employment market. I think if you... we've looked at Tompkins County's employees... Our employees don't, maybe half of them don't live in Tompkins County, which surprised me, but then, we have a regional market. So when I look at these, the list of companies here, these are pretty close. I think we have talked about is this Tompkins plus the contiguous counties and what, so I mean, maybe it's something that we ought to engage at a policy level, but I think the point is if you don't, there are just a lot of people who commute in and commute out, and that's something that isn't usually considered, you know, a hard and fast rule about the county line.
So can I answer that? One of the questions was, are we sure about the track record on this particular element of training people and placing them in jobs for those that meet the state certified programs versus programs that aren't necessarily state certified? Do we do anything to check the track record?
If I may say for clarification, you make a good point, Martha. I've also been on the IDA, and the business agent that came to speak to us is currently, I don't know if he's on the IDA, but you know Mike Talarski. And what he wanted to point out to us, it's true that the skilled trade unions in our area often draw from a multi-county area, usually contiguous counties. The Painters is based in Buffalo and has contiguous counties around there. So local actually does have a broader sense. What we were discussing, and I think Carol makes some good points as well, is that being tied to the lowest bidder is sometimes not in the best interest of economic development for our region. And the reason is because a contractor that doesn't have a certified apprenticeship program, certified by New York State, can bring in workers from anywhere, basically, that may not get paid not just a living wage. They may not get paid benefits. They may be taken advantage of in a number of ways. Having a certified apprenticeship program allows them to get up to the equivalent of 60 hours of college credits. In addition to that, they're trained in a progression through their skills so that they're not kept just doing one thing. And it's a very helpful way that a lot of young professionals got their start as contractors was through the skilled trades. It's just been my experience with the Electrical Contracting Corporation that put in the lowest bid on this. Having worked at Cornell and having worked under previous iterations of this company, the old adage, there's a triangle. You can get it fast, you can get it good, and you can get it cheap. You can't get all three. You can get any two. Well, these folks can be cheap, but they're not good. They can be fast, but they're not good. They can be cheap and bad. You get the idea. I ran into too many pipes in the ceiling that had been cut off and reconnected for a fast reconnect. And for me personally, it's just a real good example of how, who was it, the astronaut Neil Armstrong that said the feeling that you get when you're about to take off into a rocket into space made up of a bunch of nuts and bolts that were made to the lowest bidder. Sometimes the lowest bidder isn't really the best thing. So I hadn't intended to make a big deal about this, but I'm really glad that Carol encapsulated the discussion, and the perspective that you put on it is a good one. Martha, I think we do draw from a wide county area. I think it's important for us to think about economic development and what it means to put our county dollars into circulation in the county.
Lesson with Bean Claiborne.
Oh, and you say it like that.
How do you like
it? I'll say, yes, Your Honor. I just wanted to say thank you for Carol. I'd raise my hand because I wanted to ask about, usually there's a note or something I see that has, or I've seen the packets that outline who all the bidders are and you know, how we came up with these guys. But I just wanted to thank Carol for bringing that discussion up because I was really interested in what was the discussion around local contractors. So thank you.
Peter Stein.
I'll pass again.
Thank you. Could we just, Dave or somebody, Joe or Rorel, could you just run down what we're voting on here so the people at home can know? This is an important resolution, I believe, has to do with awarding the bids for the addition to the Human Services Building, which will eventually house the day reporting system as part of the criminal justice program. Could we just have a brief?
I can try to do it briefly. Yeah, this is a project that we've talked about doing for some time, which is the expansion of the Human Services Building. By doing this, it will allow us to finally vacate the old library building where we have our day reporting center and county employees that work there. So this will provide the additional space. This is an important milestone in that project, which is to actually award the bids to contractors to do the work for us. This comes after an intensely competitive process where we received a lot of bidders. These are very good bid prices. And we're looking at the four contractors who would be involved in this work. This is general contractor, mechanical contractor, electrical, and plumbing. This is a Wixlaw project, which is why they're broken into those four areas. We are within our budget. It's important to note that. Since we were talking about the apprenticeship program, I will tell you that on the GC work, there was a contractor who did come in low and didn't meet our requirement to have a state-certified apprenticeship program. So we've gone to the next lowest bidder, which is well over. And all of the others, and including well over, have been now fully qualified because it's not just low bid, it's lowest qualified bidder. So we've gone through the due diligence to make sure that all of these are qualified contractors. We believe they are. So this, with your vote tonight, you will really be allowing us to move forward on finalizing these contracts and beginning the project, which we believe will be done by sometime next fall.
Thank you, Joe.
Let me just say I appreciate the due diligence and the work that the staff put into this.
Thank you. Yeah.
All those in favor of this resolution, please raise your hand. And those opposed? We have one opposed tonight. Thank you. That resolution carries.
Let me just finish up my report by saying we talked a lot about Hanshaw Road. I know that the public there, living there especially, have been having some distress over continued one-way traffic there. We've been assured by Jeff, highway superintendent, the department... titles.
Manager.
The manager of highways that September 19th is the date by which we will have two-way traffic back on that street, and the contractor will have to have a penalty of liquidated or some kind of damages, $2,000 a day. I think that's a lot of motivation. There's a lot that has been done.
Should that not happen? Right.
Should that not happen. But everything's on track for it to happen. There's a lot of work that's been done. Not all of it is really obvious to people, but I want to personally apologize to the folks on Hanshaw Road for the length of time that they've had to go through this. I know we're getting a lot of emails about it, and I promise you we're listening, and I try and take every situation as a learning experience, and I know Jeff has been really cooperative in communicating very well with the committee and, I believe, to the public. So more to hear on that, and keep those emails coming. When Nick's going to meet, facilities and infrastructure will meet again on, look at my handy-dandy chart. I love this chart. October 20th. That's third Monday at 10:30 a.m. in the legislative chambers. Come on and listen. Roads and bridges. What could be more interesting?
Thank you, Kathy. Let's go to the Economic Development Committee. Will Burbank is the chair.
Thank you, Mike. This will be short because we did not have a meeting this month. We did, however, have our tour of the Borg Warner facility up on Warren Road on last Friday, and I was happy that a number of you were able to join us. I had never been in such a facility, and it was I've had a fascinating. I had never spent so much time with so many robots, for example. It was sort of you walk around, and there are all these sort of arms moving in plexiglass boxes, and workers dutifully standing outside watching them and tending them and doing whatever. Got a better sense of what they do. We had really, really nice sort of orientation from the plant manager and a couple of VPs from the company. I came away with a sense that they really value being here in Ithaca. As you know, they're our largest for-profit employer. And I sense working conditions up there are pretty decent. They are unionized, represented by the Teamsters. So I want to thank everybody that came and thank them for doing that. We will be meeting our next in October, which is October Monday the 6th, I believe. And stay tuned for more to come.
Questions for Will? Nathan Chittagawa, Government Operations Committee.
Government Operations Committee will be meeting on, oh goodness, when is that? Next? Is it next Tuesday? We will be discussing a number of items, I don't have a report until then.
Questions for Nathan?
Dooley did want me to add to the agenda a discussion about county clerk fees, and Kathy, I'm more than willing to add that to the agenda, so you can add it. And then with that, you can have my approval. Also, Mike, I know you had an item that you wanted
yes,
to look
and,
at.
Yes, and we've heard a little bit about it tonight. I'm going to ask your committee, Nathan, if it will, to take a look at our policy that we adopted a number of years ago regarding the apprenticeship programs and give it a good review. Does it need to change, stay the same? What is it doing what we want it to do?
I think then, Kathy, if you could add to the agenda a discussion of the policy to begin with. I think we need to be familiarized with it first. And I would just ask if Paula or Joe can bring a copy of that policy related to the apprenticeship.
Can I ask that if that's going to be the case, it might also be helpful to look at some of the discussion, whatever notes we have about it, because I think this is a case where there might have been some intentional thumbs, and I certainly took part in some of that thumbing. So I think that would be helpful to put it in context.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you. Anything else, Nathan?
No, that's all.
Old Library Committee has not met. We have found a date, and we will be meeting on the 30th of September at 9 o'clock, and we'll be working on the what we want to see into the RFP. We'll be working with Ed Marks and Joe Mariana toward the language we want to see in that RFP. Any questions? Planning, Energy, and Environmental Quality Committee. Carol Chalk is the chair.
We will be meeting tomorrow, early afternoon, 12:30 p.m. at the old jail conference room. We will be hearing a report and having discussion about the Way to Go program, looking at continuing the Tompkins County Housing Fund, and looking at the principles and policies portion of the county, the new county comprehensive plan. You are all welcome to come. All three should be interesting discussions.
Questions for Carol? Thank you, Carol. Charter Review Committee, we met and we worked our way through the section of the charter having to do with the personnel department, including opening a discussion of whether or not that department should have a change of name. We're fortunate to have both our retiring personnel commissioner, Anita Fitzpatrick, and our new personnel commissioner, Deborah Prado. And they both gave us perspectives on the charter, and I think that was very helpful to us. We also had Ed Marks in to talk about the section of the charter having to do with the planning department. We will meet again on October 1st at 3 o'clock p.m. And it seems awfully depressing that we're already starting to think about October. Any questions I can answer? Then let's move to Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee. Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you very much, Michael. Let me just move the first item that I have, and only item, the acceptance of the audited financial report for the fiscal year ended December 31, 2013.
Is there a second? Seconded by Kathy.
And let me make a few comments. Rick will also comment. I believe this is the first time that the county legislature is accepting, if this resolution is successful, an acceptance of the audited financial report. And it is a policy that that we want to begin in this calendar year and continue on into the future. The audit committee met this afternoon with the reps from Dietershagen, and there were two or three things that were brought out for those of us, excuse me, those of us who've been on the audit committee for a few years. There are key words that are mentioned all the time. No material instances of noncompliance and no material internal control weaknesses. Second thing, no material instances of noncompliance and no material internal control weaknesses. And then there are no comments of concern. And what that really means is that all department heads and the director of finance are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing to be able to respond to our auditors. And the county has done that for many years, but we continue to do that better than reasonably well. We do that in an excellent format. And our auditors have said that to us for many years. There are some little changes and tweaks that we have to do, but over the continued process of auditing, Tompkins County has done an outstanding job in the way they handle taxpayer money and the way our department heads handle taxpayer money. So, and Rick would probably like to fill in the blanks that I left out.
Rick, go ahead.
Thank you, Jim. You've hit on the key points. I'm glad you made mention of some of those key findings that the auditors have made. The final and audited financial report for the period ended December 31st, 2013 has been received, and I've supplied a copy to the legislative clerk so that she would have it on file and as a matter of record. I have emailed an electronic copy of the financial report to each of the legislators and the county administrator. The audit committee, which Jim referenced just a moment ago, and the Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee have each received the report. The Audit Committee has heard the auditor's formal presentation, and the Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee received a brief summary from the auditors just today, and they have approved a resolution to accept the financial statements. This resolution is being forwarded to the legislature tonight for their approval. I would like to point out that the executive summary and the management's discussion and analysis, or MD&A, in the front of the financial report are effective summaries which highlight the year's important data and issues. These are a good place to start in your review of the report. As with other years, financial reports and budgets, we will make the 2013 financial report available on the county's website. I'd like to give you just a few highlights, a few that Jim didn't already mention, just for you to think about, and as you take turn to look at that report yourself, whether you look at it in the email, the PDF version that I've sent you, or if you would like a hard copy, I can make that available for you also. The first point we'd like to bring out is that our undesignated or unassigned fund balance, that has gone up $1,460,000. This is indeed good, since our budget for 2013 envisioned using up about $1.1 million of this unassigned fund balance. Now, we did use for operations, and that is generally the revenues over expenditures of the general fund, we did use $314,000 of this fund balance, which is a lot better than using $1.1 million. So you might ask, how did we come up with such an increase? Well, because some of the other designated fund balances have gone down, that allowed this unassigned fund balance category to go up. So as you trace it through the financial statements, you see that our position is even better than we were at last year, once again by $1.4 million. As a percentage of general fund revenue, the undesignated or unassigned fund balance is at 12.6%. Remember when the legislature redid that policy, and they thought we would be wise and conservative to increase that from 5 to 10% as a target. Well, we have exceeded that target, and we are at 12.6%. Second point, the airport fund. In the document, the airport fund is called, in the tabular setting, the transportation fund. So if you're looking for it, you need to look for the transportation fund when you see the statements. The airport fund has a negative fund balance of $155,030. This was due to decreased revenues from air flights. December 2013 air traffic was down 15.69% compared to December 2012. And it was also due to increased borrowings from other funds. Revenues at the airport decreased by 1.25%. That's a decrease, while expenditures increased by 2.94%. That's the first time we've had to comment for our auditors and to anyone else who might ask, whether they be bond rating agencies or banks or the state, as they look at and review our report, we have to explain a negative fund balance, an uncomfortable place to be. So we have some work to do as far as trying to find out ways and to help the airport get out of that type of trouble that it's in right now. And we have recommended to the auditors, and our official stance on this is that we anticipate that revenues in subsequent years will help make up for that shortfall, along with the paying back of monies to other funds. So I thought I should bring that to your attention tonight. The third issue is the county's total revenues. When you look at all the funds combined as one big mass, the county's total revenues decreased by 0.6%, while the total cost of all programs and services increased by 1.33%. Once again, that's looking at all funds combined. Number four, the county invested nearly $10.6 million in capital assets during 2013. Approximately $4.4 million of this was invested in infrastructure. And point number five, my last point, our constitutional debt limit. We often get questions whenever we bring to you another bond offering or a bond issue like we'll be bringing to you in the next few weeks. Where are we at in what we're allowed to be borrowing? And people ask about the constitutional debt limit. And there's a formula that you have to use to calculate that. Well, in this document, we have that worked out. And it says, at December 31st, 2013, the total outstanding bonded indebtedness of the county aggregated to $46,340,000. Of this amount, $45,745,000 was subject to the constitutional debt limit and represents approximately 10% of its statutory debt limit. So the answer is, when you do the calculation and the five-year averaging and all that's worked into the formula, and you want to ask that question, where are we in our debt limit? We are at just 10% of our statutory debt limit. And those are the highlights I like to bring to your attention to the report. I would be glad to make hard copies of this, since I do have extras available for anyone who would like it. That's about how many documents you get, when the main one being the thick gray one on top. The only other remark I have is that after your formal acceptance, it's not really approval, but just your acceptance tonight, I'll be allowed to send this on to the people who are working on our next bond issue, so that this very document will be part and parcel of the next operating statement for the next bond issue. And I'll take any questions that you might have.
Questions for Rick. Martha.
I don't know if it's for Rick, but maybe Jim. Should we endorse this?
Yes, absolutely. Let's please accept it.
Let's be serious, folks. This is an important issue.
So I appreciate that for the first time we'll have a resolution accepting this. We've never had to vote on this before, and so it makes me a little bit troubled that I haven't had a chance to read this participate in the discussions or anything. So I'm not sure that I am able to just vote to accept this tonight. I really wish I'd had a chance to read it and even go through some of the things that you just mentioned. I appreciate that highlights. So I just wanted to say that.
Brian?
Thanks. I was able to hear a lot of the highlights, being on the I forget what you can call it.
Audit committee.
Audit committee. Which, by the way, if you want to feel really inept, go to one of those. And but at any rate, you can certainly get the picture. I understand what Leslin is saying. Typically, you'd like to be able to digest information before voting on it. I also understand, and maybe I'm in a little bit better position having heard that presentation, but I hope everyone appreciates that out of necessity for going to the bond markets, we really do need to get this done tonight. I am very grateful. Leslin, I wish you were there because we did talk about Gadsby a little bit.
I know. I want to compare it to the Gadsby principles.
So I hear what you're saying. I was really quite happy with the amount of the general fund that we do have. I don't know. He explained it, and I don't know how we got there. But I'm certainly glad we got there, and I'm sure that will be looked upon favorably when we go to the markets. But as a general course, and not just in financial matters, but all matters, I'm the one that doesn't even like voting on resolutions the night of public hearings. I just don't like what that looks like. So my hope is that we should continue to accept these reports. I think it's a good idea that we do that, but that unfortunately, or try to make it so the timing isn't such that we are in such a rush to accept it and allow people the opportunity to look it over, ask questions, and then accept it. I realize why it needs to be done this way at this time, but for the future.
Thank you, Brian. Anyone else? Jim?
We are always in the market for people who want to be members of the audit committee, for sure. It's been a difficult time assembling numbers, and so now that we're in the business of acceptance, I'm hoping that more people will be interested, and you don't have to be a member of the budget committee to be on the audit committee, so please do that. Go ahead. That's it.
Julie?
Yeah, I have a reaction similar to Leslin's. I did have time at home to take a look at what Rick had forwarded to us. It was much more than I could take in an hour. But I did notice a couple of things. But first I want to ask, did our previous audited reports not go to bond council ever? Since we haven't been formally accepting them, have they not been useful?
Yes, they have always gone to bond council because they are normally included in the next bond offering. And if we don't have financial statements because it's too early, like the issue we did in July, we give them what we call a copy of the AUD, which is annual update document that we submit to the state. And so it's kind of a modified, simplified version of the financial statements. But we have to supply some kind of financial information to the bond markets every time we go out to market.
So in theory, you could send what the audit committee took today, and we don't have to act on this tonight. we could put off to accept it. Is that right?
Well, this is the first time you've been asked to accept them because I felt it was important going forward for the first time ever that the legislature would do some kind of formal marking on that they have received it before I start sending them out to the bond markets. And that was based on the auditor's suggestion that most places there's some formal legislative acceptance so that I can begin to use the document for banking needs and for things like a bond issue. But you're right. It hasn't been done in the past. This is the first time ever. I just thought it was a more formal way to do it, and it gives closure to the fact that we can always say to the state, we've accomplished this particular road mark or at this particular time.
I think it's a fine idea that we have to accept it and go through the learning process that goes with that. I am uncomfortable voting for it tonight because I haven't been able to look at it sufficiently to be happy that I understand it. So let me ask you another question. I did read a section of their management comment letter that's called Other Matters, and it has to do with compliance with highway law, section 10C4, whatever that is. And the description has to do with the CHIPS funding, which is supposed to be separated into two categories, Transportation Improvement Fund and the Local Assistance Improvement Fund, which apparently is not something that they were able to distinguish between in the documents submitted this year. So one question is, how serious is that? And the other question is, in previous years, had they been able to distinguish?
Hit it first or should...
How serious is it?
Yeah.
It is not serious. And two, no, they have not been able to distinguish it.
So have they recommended in the past that we be able to distinguish?
Well, now the experts can talk about it.
Well, I can speak to the past. They've always encouraged us to do this. They've never found an example, I don't believe, of any local government that has figured out a way to comply with this piece of law. So there's an obligation on their part to tap us on the shoulder and suggest that we do something. But when we ask them, is there a best practice that we can follow? Is there a way that we can better comply? There isn't one. We do it like all other local governments account for this CHIPS money.
Is that something that we should be talking to our state legislators about? If that's a piece of law that nobody attempts to comply with, what use is it?
I don't know, but if I can just use that as an opportunity to say that they have confirmed that we are in compliance with the spirit of the law. We do things in a way that are in keeping with what the law has asked us to do. It's really a technical departure from that. It's the letter of the law. And again, if we could find a best practice, we'd be happy to adopt it. We're happy to keep looking at it. But at this time, I think every local government in New York State struggles with this particular provision. Whether we should initiate a conversation with the state legislature or not, I don't know whether we should or whether GFOA or somebody else should.
I know it's tempting to let sleeping dogs lie or whatever the cliche is, yeah. But it does seem foolish to have a piece of law that nobody pays attention to. So the other things that I wanted to spend more time on and haven't been able to have to do with the separate information about, I don't know what they were called, our library, the IDA, and soil and water, which are also audited in this exercise. And there's a separate accounting of the solid waste fund. And I want to have time to look at those, certainly before we get to those things in the budget. It looks like a fascinating subject. I'm not offering to be on a committee at the moment, but I would like time to look at it. So if we have to vote tonight, just don't make us do it in such a hurry ever again, please.
Here's where we are. We're past time for a break. We've got two more committees. I've got some more people who'd like to speak and ask Rick questions. Do you want to go to a break, or do you want to push through? What's the feeling of the group here?
Push through.
Break.
push through.
Let's discuss it.
I hear someone who wants a break, and I think that's fair because we always try to have a break. So I'm going to go for a break for 10 minutes.
I just want to give a point of view.
You're not going to vote on this? When we come back.
Point of information.
No, I don't think we're going to finish.
I quoted.
You got more people that want to talk.
I was wrong. It was actually Alan Shepard. And what he said is, it's a very sobering feeling to be up in space and realize that one safety factor was determined by the lowest bidder on a government contract.
10 minutes, folks. All right, sorry to interrupt in the middle of the discussion on the audit, but let's pick it up. And the next person I had on the list was Carol Chock.
Oh. I don't have any problems with letting David, with voting on this and letting David use it to hopefully lower the bond rate that we pay, but I would like the opportunity. What did I say? Dave.
The new Dave.
I was just talking about my life from 2 years ago that Rick was not familiar with, and I saw where my head still was. But I would like the opportunity to be able to come back and ask more questions about it if we have them. I mean, I don't think this is something we make changes to. The auditors deliver it to us, but we may have questions about it. The more substantive point I wanted to make was having to do with the limit that you had investigated about we're only at 10% of our bonding ability. I think that's unconscionable that anybody would allow municipalities to get into debt, you know, to bond at what? Depending on which part of your budget you're counting, that would be 10 times your property tax budget, four or five times others, you know, major sections of your budget. That's unconscionable, and I please don't spend, don't anybody take this as a sign that we should bond an additional more than about $2 of that. We're already, I think, we've had an awful lot of bonding lately, and we're getting nearly. Maybe we ought to have our own discussion at some point about where we think makes more sense to be.
I would point out, Carol, that we did have a capital plan review committee that talked about that for, 3 years?
Did we accept those recommendations?
Peter Stein.
I have no idea what I was going to say.
At least you admit it.
I just like to say that I think this is fine to bring this in front of the legislature, and something, as Rick points out, that we haven't done in the past. There's a lot of work that goes into an audit. We don't see it. It's Rick and his department, and certainly administration are part of it. And not to mention the hard work of the auditors. I was able to sit in and part of the review this afternoon, and they knew what they were talking about. You know, when the question came up, they knew where to find it and how to respond to it. I think that's pretty important. It sounds like they've done a good job for us, and it's important that we take it seriously. And by saying we accept it, it means something. It means that, we know about it, and we know we need to have this. We know we need to make sure that the financial protections are there for us, and we as the governing board are a part of our financial future here. Martha.
I just want to say we have experts in all sorts of areas in county government, and I'm delighted that we have experts, and I could never begin to understand what Rick does, and I'm delighted to support his confident recommendation.
Thank you. Anything else? Rick, thanks for that report. Jim, anything else from your committee?
I would like to vote on this resolution.
Oh, yeah. We got the resolution to vote on. Resolution to accept the auditing report. Are we ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Those opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you.
The next meeting of the EBC is 5:30 Thursday evening. That concludes.
Let's go to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McBean Claiborne is the chair.
Just a really couple quick things. The Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee will meet next week on the 24th. It's Wednesday, 3:30 in the old jail conference room. I want to remind people that the reading and discussion program registration is open. We have Thursday sessions and Tuesday sessions. I really like sort of the tag that goes with it, strengthening the diversity conversation in the workplace. The Thursday sessions are October 2nd, 19th, and 23rd. And the main focus or topic is workplace age diversity. Or the Tuesday sessions, and one can register for either Thursday sessions or Tuesday sessions. The Tuesday session, Living and Working with Our Diversities. And those are October 14th, 21st, 24th, and November 4th. They all run from 3 to 4:30. The Tuesday sessions are up at the Airport Administration and CFR building on Brown Road. And the Thursday sessions will be held at the Tompkins County Public Library. These are facilitated discussions. And as a reminder, all the employees who have participated thus far in a reading and discussion program have had positive things to say about it and certainly are willing, as they say, to recommend it to other county employees. It's another way of continuing the diversity conversation within our county without people having to go to a training necessarily, but really engaged dialogue where a lot of learning and sharing can take place. The other thing that I wanted to take an opportunity to point out at our last legislature meeting, I think it's our last legislature meeting, I brought up just the, you know, the issue of police and community relations because we had so much going on here locally as well as outside of our county and at our public safety committee meeting. As Brian mentioned earlier, we had an executive session you know, talking some about that as well. There is a this is all part of, you know, just building on our diversities in a different way. There is a group called Civic Ensemble. It is a theater group that has worked very diligently, and I want to thank our law enforcement officers for participating. They do these groups called Story Circles, where, you know, people come and share stories on whatever the topic is. This time around, the topic was safety, community, and police relations. And out of that, the community, the people who share stories and want to participate, work to develop a community-based play. This has been done, and there are performances that are coming up that I want to encourage us, anyone around this table to attend, and the general public, again, another way of strengthening our conversations with each other and building relationships within our community. The performances are scheduled for the 19th and 20th of this week, so Friday and Saturday, 8 o'clock at the Lehman Alternatives Community School on Chestnut Street. And there's 8 p.m. performance, and I think Saturday there's also a 2 p.m. performance. There is a performance. It's traveling. It's touring at Barnes Hall on the 25th at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. Another one on the 26th at Texter Hall, this time at Ithaca College, at 7:30 p.m. Another one that's going to happen at the Latino Festival on September 27th at 5 p.m., and another performance of safety at Calvary Baptist Church on September 28th at 6 p.m. I want to read just a little bit. Community members and police have shared stories over the past year. Now a group of community members will perform a play based on those stories and their own creative ideas. It will be fun, thought-provoking, and a true discussion starter. I was reminded of that as I was talking about a reading and discussion group, because often we at Workforce Diversity and Inclusion try to encourage people to engage in dialogue around diversity and inclusion in ways that are unique and different, that will allow for the maximum amount of participation by people. Often when you say training, people roll their eyes and da-da-da-da-da. These are opportunities where those very things can happen. We begin to learn about each other, meaning to learn how to be better citizens with each other and accepting our uniqueness in these fun and exciting ways. So I just wanted to have the opportunity to share those things. We are continuing to work with the selected, well, not selected, but the vendor for the climate survey, the workplace climate survey, and at the same time, we're looking to see if there are other partners, employer partners within this community who may want to partner with us in doing the same for their organization, and in that way we can all share the bill and have a common tool that can be used within this community among employers to get people to think about how is the workforce, how are we strengthening that diversity conversation, and how are we building inclusive organizations throughout our county.
Thank you, Leslie. Questions? Jim?
Leslie, I realize that the new personnel commissioner is very new, but is she going to be involved in any of this, or has your committee contacted her to be involved in the climate survey kinds of things?
Well, as you speak, Jim, she has been invited to be a part of WDIC. I hope that she will be at the next WDIC meeting where she can share some of her vision and her ideas for diversity and inclusion, because I know it's something that she knows a lot about, and, you know, be informed about the other things that we have been working on. Anita was a part of WDIC, and so our expectation is that she will continue to be a part as well, you know, as our personnel department, that's where it's a part of. So we hope to see her there and to hear from her.
Brian?
Leslie, these community plays, the police officers aren't actors in that play, are they?
I'm not telling. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I can think of one. Jeff Huddle could be an actor, but
he most certainly can.
But that would be about the only one.
You'd be surprised.
Okay. Thank you, Leslie. Peter Stein, Health and Human Services Committee.
Thank you, Mike. I will describe what happened briefly, I hope briefly, at our September 9th meeting. At all of our meetings, we have presentations by the various committees that report to us, and there were six or five, and I'll try to briefly summarize what they told us. The first was by Betty Falco from the Human Services Coalition, talking about Medicaid reform. It was pretty interesting to me. Medicaid reform, we've heard about this for years, is designed to reduce costs. Now, what I found really interesting about this is that as soon as I hear talking about medical care designed to reduce costs, it means getting worse service. But actually, when you listen to what they say, you'll see the attempt to reduce costs, it seems to me, gives better service rather than worse service in this particular case. A major, and this is all at the local levels. So an important goal is to reduce the number of people that get out of a hospital and then come back to a hospital. Medicaid patients that do that. And the key is to assess local community needs to decrease the hospitalization for 10 southern tier counties. So 10 southern tier counties are getting together and looking to see how they can each one, what problems each one has in problems that require, that allow people to be discharged from hospitals prematurely. So these counties are all working together, looking at their own particular problems, and trying to come to grips with them. Another thing is to improve better diagnoses at the intake of mental health patients. Same problem. Mental health patients come in, they don't do the right thing, they send them someplace, they send them for a place to go to a hospital, and the hospital is all full or something like that. So that was supposed to be streamlined. A second thing was to switch from a hospital-based delivery system, which is what we have at the moment, to a community-based need system, where the community, and the community again is 10 southern tier counties, each looks at what it is their communities need. The 10 southern tier counties are comparing local needs assessments to determine projects that should be undertaken. So what are the right projects to undertake in order to reduce the particular problems there? And another thing is that 5 southern tier counties, Broome, Chenango, Delaware, Tioga, and Tompkins, will be engaging in a non-competitive team to find resources to reduce disparities in their needs. So that's what I heard about. That's what the Medicare Reform Act is doing in our area. Second, Lisa Holmes from COFA. One of COFA's longstanding programs is the so-called PERS programs, which allows elderly people to contact the 911 center when they have problems and need someone to come and help them. It turns out that we have for a long time supplied both the machines that they carry around and also connected them to the 911 center. We can no longer do that. There's a technological advance which makes it impossible, because the way COFA has been doing it depends on landlines on the telephone. That's how they communicated, and now more and more people do not have landlines anymore. They have voice over internet, they have cell phones, and it's not possible for us to build locally systems that will be able to use any one of these sources. So what COFA is doing now is to asking for RFPs from various people who do this sort of thing, namely security systems, people to connect individuals to emergency center. One of the problems is that one thing that COFA has done and that the security systems don't do is have a sliding scale of fees. And COFA is trying to find a provider who will allow them to somehow build into the system a sliding fee system. I mean, that's a critical part of our system, is to have people that can't afford to take them privately, to have these systems privately, to give them the ability to do that. And another thing that we learned from COFA is making a new strategic plan, and it will be finished by the end of the year. We heard from Sigrid Connors of the Health Department. There's been an outbreak of syphilis in Tompkins County. The numbers are small, but nonetheless significant. In 2010, we had no syphilis cases in Tompkins County. This year, we have 7. All of these cases are males. The Department of Health has reconvened the Peace of Mind community to spread the news around through the circles that are apt to be sources of transmission of syphilis. There are bus ads, flyers to bars, and healthcare providers that are being informed about this so that the community that is apt to be affected by this understands that this problem is going on. Patricia Carey, we've heard about the funding that the DSS has gotten to examine and perhaps help improve our family treatment court and CARS procedures. So this week, the group from California, which we're working with to understand who are experts on this particular aspect of DSS, they're coming to Ithaca. There's a site visit in Ithaca to actually assess the family treatment court procedures as well as the CARS procedures. And the last thing I wanted to talk about is something from the Human Rights Commission. Human Rights Commission, as you know, probably has been doing a fair housing survey. There have been 800 responses to the survey. They've all been collected, and the data is currently being analyzed, and we expect to hear a report by the end of the year as to what sorts of problems we have in that particular area. And the last thing is that the Human Rights Commission is in the process of expanding its February art and poetry contest, which they have every year, to reflect all of the 30 articles of the UN Declaration of Human Rights, to expand it to include those things. Some concern was expressed at the meeting that doing so would weaken the traditional format that we have for the arts and poetry contest. Karen Baer assured us that the celebration that we have had traditionally on Martin Luther King Day would not be negatively impacted by the changes that are being made. And that concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Peter. Will Burbank.
So Peter, I thank you for that very comprehensive report. I did hear when you were talking about Lisa's report on what COFA is doing relative to the personal emergency response devices. I heard her say something a little different. I mean, perhaps I'd heard her wrong, but not that it was impossible for us to continue, but that it had become uneconomical for us to continue. That keeping pace with the change in technology was going to cost, I think the number I heard was about $150,000 for a new generation of devices. They didn't feel that they could essentially shop and get purchase these, which is why they are looking to outside vendors. I will repeat what I've said before is I really applaud their attempt to try to do a hybrid. I am quite frankly concerned about this move because there are many very predatory groups that aggressively promote these devices. And I've been pleased that we have had a publicly funded alternative for many years. I hope we can continue some semblance of that. But it wasn't that we couldn't do it. It's that the recommendation is that we shouldn't do it.
Yeah, well, when I said couldn't, I meant couldn't, given our resources. You're right, it's a resource section. I mean, no reason that we couldn't duplicate what these companies do, but the cost is too high. And it was not too high before when we had this single system because also we were competing with these private firms, but now it is. It's gotten too complex for us to do. I'll never forget, by the way, I have to put this in. I remember when Irene was the chair of the head of COFA, and she went to my boss, who was the head of the nuclear physics laboratory at Cornell, and got him to go and repair these COFA machines when they went bad. So that was one way, because they were friends, okay? He loved it, and he came down there, and he was repairing these things and giving them back. So lots of ways to cut corners. But in any case, they no longer think they can cut corners and effectively do it. But my understanding was that their RFP ask people to, can they in fact do this? Can they figure out some way that there could be a sliding scale so that we can protect the, and that's part of the decision making, and I have every faith that that will be an important consideration when they make that decision.
Thank you. Martha?
Just a quick note. I was hoping to say it when Frank was here, but the National Association for the Education of Young Children is a great organization. And so I'm glad that the Health Department is asked to be part of it. That was one of the consent agenda items. So when I was a kindergarten teacher, that was like the main professional organization, and they're great. $70 well spent.
Uh-huh. Last one.
So, Peter, I heard you talk about the poetry, art and poetry contest. I'm happy to hear about it, but just one slight correction. It's not Martin Luther King Day that those presentations initially or originally have been done. It's the Martin Luther King Community Breakfast at GIAC where that has happened, and that has been one of the highlights of the breakfast. It usually happens the Saturday before the Martin Luther King Day.
I've been often to them. My memory was they were on Martin Luther King Day. I apologize.
That's all right. And it's a really big deal to families who come out and to the community. So we really love having that.
All right. Shall we move on?
Yes, of course.
Something I forgot to mention I do think we should take note of, and that is our biggest employer in Tompkins County is Cornell University. And it is their 150th anniversary this year. And I know they had a giant kickoff of that. Unfortunately, it wasn't in Ithaca yet, but it was at the Empire State Building in New York City. And we want to extend our congratulations to Cornell University, and I just thought it was important that we note that. Can we take the minutes of September 2nd, please? Mike Sigler. Now let's move them. Is there a second? Seconded by Nathan. Discussion? All those in favor? Those opposed? One opposed. Unfinished business. I'm going to turn to Dooley Kiefer.
Yes, I forgot to request that my reasons for voting against Resolution H, which had to do with spending $12,000 for the renewable energy certificates, if my reasons could be summarized in the minutes.
Okay. Was there anything else you wanted to bring up at this point? Okay. I think, then, a motion to adjourn is in order. I'll get all the hands. Peter Stein, is there a second? Seconded by, Mike Sigler. All those in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Those opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. Thank you to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you to Kathy and Karen, Marcia, Mike up in the control room.